Congressman Jerry Connolly believes two separate bills to modernize federal IT could both accomplish the same ends. That's why the Virginia Democrat is actively supporting both the White House's $3.1 billion IT Modernization Fund and Congressman Will Hurd's Move IT Act. Executive editor Jason Miller writes about how Connolly's support of both bills caused an only in Washington optics problem. As part of this week's edition of Inside the Reporter's Notebook, he joins me now to discuss. And Jason, why is Connolly getting behind both of these two seemingly different and conflicting bills?
Jared, there's two things going on here. There's a centralized approach under the White House's plan. Now, this is the $3.1 billion IT Modernization Fund. This bill was introduced in the House by Congressman Steny Hoyer. And then there's a decentralized approach called the Move IT Act, introduced by Congressman Will Hurd, as well as Connolly, as well as Senators Tom Udall and Jerry Moran in the obviously Senate side. And these two approaches seem to be, you know, so different because one's centralized, one's decentralized. One wants to create a big pot of money, $3 billion. One wants to give each agency a working capital fund. And what Congressman Connolly is trying to do is what I read about is say play both sides of the IT modernization debate, saying there's room for both. Because number one, the IT modernization fund will only really help us a limited amount of projects. I mean, $3 billion, when you think about that, the overall IT budget's $86 billion plus, maybe even pushing $89 billion. So $3 billion for a fund is not a lot of money. Then he says you can also take this working capital fund idea and help agencies over the long term really address this legacy systems modernization issue by giving them an incentive to save money. Hey, look, our data centers used to cost us $30 million a year. Now they cost us $20 million a year. That other $10 million can be put toward other legacy or old IT. And that's why I think he's trying to play both sides. What's interesting, though, is that I think Congressman Hoyer was not happy with the way Congressman Connolly jumped on board the Move IT bill. And he actually, Congressman Connolly, wrote a memo to Steny Hoyer saying, here's why these two bills are complementary and not going against each other.
And do we have any evidence or indication that Congressman Hoyer views these two bills as in competition with each other?
I think he does. And I think he was, just by the fact that Congressman Connolly decided to write a memo to him saying, no, don't get mad. Like, these are fine. It seems to be he was not happy with Congressman Connolly's idea. But one thing to keep in mind, Jared, about Jerry Connolly is he's got to play. There's a lot of people he's trying to make happy, right? He's a Democrat in the White House. He's got a lot of support from the White House. He's got to make the executive branch happy. But who's in his district? A lot of contractors. And there's a lot of contractors who also don't like this idea of a centralized fund that's got to go through the General Services Administration. The contractors that I've talked to say this approach, the IT modernization fund that the White House is pushing, it gives GSA too much power, too much authority to make decisions on which agency, which projects get funded. And I think that gives them a lot of concern. So by Congressman Connolly also saying there's this decentralized approach where each agency gets a working IT capital fund, that also makes the contractor side, the industry people, happy too. So that's why I say he's playing both sides. And I think Congressman Hoyer, without having seen any really comments from him, it was just not real excited that this bill came up and Congressman Connolly was a co-sponsor.
And Congressman Connolly gave you a written statement trying to resolve this apparent discrepancy, essentially saying, I'm paraphrasing him, but essentially saying, well, you need both. You need the ability to reinvest savings at a smaller scale so that you can do some IT modernization, but then you also really need the really big fund for large infrastructure investments that kind of have to be funded up front. Is there some logic to that rationale?
I think so. I think what Congressman Connolly is trying to say is, listen, in the short term, this IT modernization fund could make a big difference. Really look at the programs and projects and the systems that really need help now. And here's a big pot of money that could help them now. But over the long term, there's a whole lot of other systems that are coming due. If you remember Tony Scott, the federal CIO, I'd broken a story maybe in May timeframe that talked about the bill that's coming due, the billions and billions of dollars mm-hmm. that of old IT that's happening. And I think, long story short is he sees the Move IT Act as that long-term vision to help agencies get off of this old technology. One thing also that Congressman Connolly points out in his statement and also his memo to Congressman Hoyer is the idea that this IT Working Capital Fund, however you want to call it, was actually in the original FITARA bill, the Federal IT Acquisition Reform Act, as a concept of how to fund this legacy systems modernization effort. And it was taken out of FITARA for assorted reasons. And so in many ways, what Congressman Connolly is saying is this is just the next, if you will, version 2.0 of FITARA that addresses other big issues that's facing the IT community and the federal government.
Well, if this big pot of money wasn't able to pass muster with Congress within FITARA, is there any reason to believe that it would do better as a standalone bill?
I think that because more members of especially the Oversight and Government Reform Committee and now the Appropriations Committee are seeing that this IT modernization problem is going to be continue to grow. And because we've been talking about it so much, I mean, Tony Scott is very specific around what the problems are and what needs to be done to fix them. So while FITARA didn't have this idea of these working capital funds, didn't have this idea of addressing IT modernization in this way, he believes the time is now right. And I think that's why both Congressman Hurd has put out this bill and why OMB has come up with this idea of a big pot of money.
All right, and Jason, I want to move on to one other topic in this week's version of Inside the Reporter's Notebook in our last couple minutes. And it's timely as we enter the fourth quarter of the fiscal year, the biggest spending quarter by far. The Defense Department rolling out a new forecasting tool. Tell us what they're trying to do there.
Sometimes they call it the silly season, as they call it, you know, getting near a election. But this is the silly season for acquisition folks. And it's interesting, Jared, you know, I had to look this up, but the government spends on average about 32% of their contracting budget in July, August, and September. That's a whole lot of money. If you think about the budget is $460 billion, and I don't do math, you know that. So about 32% is something like $120 billion, give or take. So what DOD is doing is saying, well, maybe we could take this small business concept and expand it out to all of what we do. And so they came up, they developed a forecasting tool to say, let's better describe what we're buying and who is buying it, so they can both connect internal people within DOD to say, hey, are you buying those pencils? Yeah, me too. Let's do a joint buy and really get volume discounts, but also to influence contractors so the contractors have a better idea of who's buying what and when and how. And it's still in an early stage that may not really make a big difference in this fourth quarter, but Ken Brennan, the Deputy Director of Services Acquisition in the Office of Defense Procurement and Acquisition Policy, he says that over time, this will really give people a better understanding of how DOD buys, who they're buying it from, may even include some scope, meaning, hey, this acquisition could be worth more than $10 million or less than $20 million. So it gives people a sense of just how big the requirements are.
And as far as you can tell, is what they're trying to do to kind of smooth out the spending trajectory of the federal government over the course of a fiscal year so there's not this giant peak in the fourth quarter? Or is it to just make that fourth quarter spending a little bit more rational?
I think it's the latter. I think there's nothing they'll ever do until Congress can pass a budget on time, which right. I don't think they're going to anytime soon, to not to have this huge fourth quarter spending spree. And partly the other reason part of this is because if you lose it, if you don't use it, you lose it. So there's always that kind of push. We got to get the money out the door. So I think it's really to really ease the burden, ease the stress, ease the challenges when the agencies do enter the fourth quarter and say, okay, how can we do this better? And what I'm seeing across government is this is not just a DOD challenge or DOD idea to forecasting tool. The General Services Administration, with their acquisition gateway as part of the category management initiative, also is developing a forecasting tool for vendors. And again, this is something, again, built off of the Office of Small Business and Disadvantaged Business Utilization. It includes already GSA, the State Department, and really putting all this information in a much more searchable format. Instead of a bad, you know, Excel spreadsheet, it's more of a typical search that you or I would do on a site like Amazon or wherever, so we can get what we need and quickly and put in key search terms. And I think that's part of this whole concept of demand management, of category management, of buying smarter and understanding through data what you're buying.
All right. Federal News Radio's Jason Miller talking with us about just a couple of the items in this week's edition of Inside the Reporter's Notebook. Thanks as always, Jason.
My pleasure.
And you can read Inside the Reporter's Notebook this week and every week at federalnewsradio.com/JasonMiller.